The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
In fact, there is no yawning left in my day. Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. I want to thank my producers for once again blessing me with the best music ever. I do feel like I am in a magical mood. And anytime me, that just take my mood up 1,000%. And you're the best serenades, right? The best serenades. The vitamins be like, please give me dollar. I need some food, mom. And that just is rock my day, man. Good morning, Bahamas. Also, I just want to say to the people, we have a problem, Bahamas. We can see we have an increase of people on the streets asking for money. Right? And we have a variety of different types of people, I think, and situations. It's obvious that we have an increase in people who are unable to manage their emotional and mental health and wellness, right? And then we see people who are economically disadvantaged or impoverished that are on the street regularly asking for money. And I know that we are aware of the family. We have a family of people who, it seems, have taken up this method for support and survival, financial support and survival. So we have a variety of people who are on the streets asking for money at all times. And a variety of situations that bring them to that place. I want to encourage those of us that do have the resources to create mechanisms to assist people, to think about the types of mechanisms we can create. In particular, I think about temporary employment programs that can use low-skill or unskilled labor, right? And it may be labor-intensive jobs. A lot of men, a lot of young men and young women who can work, they want to work, but they don't have the wherewithal or the capacity to figure out how to do it, how to identify a job, a potential job, how to identify or how to engage someone that they have identified as someone who could potentially help them get work, but they don't know how to engage them and what exactly to say. But there's plenty, plenty, plenty people around here with plenty residual income. And I know we saw it on Independence Weekend and we could see it again on Emancipation Weekend. When you take them big boats, them big 85 engine boats, them big people and things running boats out to vacation yourself. Anyway, there's plenty of money in this town. These people need help. Not necessarily from the government, because obviously they're too busy trying to help themselves. But from those of us that have the resources, the capacity, and the wherewithal to create the mechanisms that can help. Now, in my political critique, I talk about how opposition parties should be proving their worth while they're in opposition. We should have already seen 1, 2, 5 temporary employment programs from the PLP and opposition parties. And it's not just for who you think it's for. It's not just for the derelict, for the impoverished. Although during this pandemic, all of us are impoverished in some way. This idea of a temporary employment program can be something to support young people in the summer, young people transitioning from high school to youth workforce. It can be a program to support artists who are only working part-time or cannot find enough artistic work to support themselves full-time. That's what we could be doing. But most of all, I need somebody with the resources to step up to the plate, because a lot of these people on the street are brilliant. They're very smart. They're either in circumstances that have overwhelmed them, or they may have a psychological or a mental health or emotional health issue that, if treated properly, can be managed, and they can continue to function in society, what we call normally. But I want to say this, if you're on the street asking for money with a ceramic bowl in your hand and a bottle of pepper sauce in your back pocket, then that's a job, because you brought your utensils to work. And I don't know how I feel about giving you dollar today. But I ain't dissing. But structured mechanism that could support all of us versus just one or two of us at a time. Well, good morning. Welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. It is Friday, the 23rd of July, 2021. And that means it is a Culture Friday. Now, this show today, like all days, is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a quick message about the Bahamas National Statistical Institute. Did you know the Department of Statistics has transitioned to the Bahamas National Statistical Institute effective July 1st, 2021? The BNSI is responsible for protecting the credibility, integrity, and impartiality of official statistics. For more information, visit www.stats.gov.bs. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Culture Friday. That means I have another phenomenal Bahamian that's doing big things that I want to introduce you to. Some of you, I know some of y'all know who this guy is, but I know for some of y'all, he like Inagua, the best kept secret in the Bahamas, or like Mayor Guana. Some people don't even believe Mayor Guana exists, but others of us know that's where the Fountain of Youth sits. Anyway, I want to say good morning to my guest, Mr. Eduardo Daxon. Eddie, the magic man. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning. How you doing?
I am good, thank you. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Eddie is definitely the magic man. But Eddie, just before we start, I got just one quick piece of magic to touch on before we start the show. We going dead quick this morning. Dear Minister Bannister. Somebody told me was attempting to practice magic. And I did my research. I found it. Mr. Bannister, how could you say that no government can remove all dead people from the register? How could you say that? How? I mean, even if a person on the register died the day of the election, right? We should have an automated and digitized system that's linked with all departments. Mm-hmm. So your hospital records, your death records, as soon as somebody is notified as dead in the system, it should pop up on your voter's registrar and put a flag next to mm-hmm. it. So if somebody comes in with that card, there's an automatic notification that verification is required in this instance. And it should flag anybody with the same name. Now, I would believe you if we were still in 1944 or 1977, mm-hmm. or if ZNS still had those beige computers that the Biden tried to hostage, but we didn't pay for them because it's cheapest we just replaced them, right? Boy. So we are no longer stuck in the Middle Ages. Mm-hmm. But here's why this is problematic, sir. We want leaders who can envision a world that works. We want you to be able to see the possibilities so that we can create them. We don't need you around here talking about how the government can't remove all the dead people from the register. It's impossible. And we certainly don't need you to be here telling us that it's the candidates who do the job of clearing up the register. Mm-hmm. Dear sir, if you insist on this, I will pull off the greatest magic trick ever. And I will accept that resignation letter that you have obviously been tabling. That you have been begging for somebody to accept. I will pull off the biggest magic trick and accept it.
I'll be there to watch that one.
Because you are.
I'll be there to watch that one.
Yeah. No. It's not the candidate's job to ensure that the register is clear. Just in case you didn't get it, we don't trust you all sufficiently to give you that job. But just as we go, I just wanted to give you all a sense of the problem here. This is what happens when you let the political vision and imagination direct your country. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference between politics and governance. I don't have a problem with the governance, the policy vision directing it. But this is what happens when you let politics take over the helm. You're going to let a candidate, somebody who was a candidate, tell you that there's nothing they could do to change the thing that gives them an advantage. And they're responsible for doing it. But also, here's why this is absolutely and totally unacceptable. Because we still have not agreed widely. I mean, the government has its official numbers, of course, even though members within that same government disagree with those numbers. But we have not settled on the missing and casualty count from Hurricane Dorian. And we have not done a sufficient job at it. We haven't even tried to do it properly. And here you are with these off-the-cuff, trite, little flippant commentary about voting. You guys are the same people that remind us every 5 years that voting is where your power lies. Don't agitate. Don't get upset. Don't bother us. Don't critique us. Your power lies in the vote. But it doesn't look like y'all respect that vote, does it? Have you seen the voter's card? They're giving people replacement voter's cards. Yep. They're giving people?
Yep. Yep.
Writing over it in red ink?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the seat, the bastion of your power as a citizen in the vote? And these guys couldn't even print new voters' cards?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every vaccination card is a brand new hard plastic proper 21st century data card. But you giving people a voters' card, scorching off information and rewriting it on it in red pen?
Yep. My mother used to say, red marking. Red ink is like disrespectful. That's why when you get a question wrong on a test, it's written in it's marked in red ink.
If only we would listen to the teachers. Anyway, since it's a magic day.
Okay.
And since some of y'all thought y'all was gonna pull, I mean, y'all look like y'all trying to pull off some magic trick, right? I just need y'all to understand that people are watching, people are paying attention, and this is unacceptable. It's already unacceptable that you tell us the only time we could speak is when it's time to vote or if we join a party. But now look how you're treating the sanctity of the vote. See, that's why I spoil my ballot, because people get the governments they deserve. That's why I govern myself. Okay, now don't let me forget, people. Today is Culture Friday. And moving forward, our aim is to focus as much energy on culture as possible. But let me tell you, this voting thing is an important thing, very important thing. But before we start this segment of the Culture Friday show, I want to remind you guys, my guest today is provided by Cultural Experience Productions, and they are an experienced entity in cultural project management, development, and production. Cultural Experience Productions has been executing and partnering with some of the largest cultural events in the Bahamas. That's Cultural Experience Productions. And let me just say that it, for me, it's been fulfilling and educating, right? Like edifying, but I learned plenty interacting with artists, not just listening to their music, but hearing them talk about the work of creating the music and the state of being an artist in the country. And it's given me a great insight into how some things work in this town. And so this is, I want this to be a space dedicated to culture where we could talk about the work that you do, but more importantly, what you need as artists, as cultural stakeholders, as cultural practitioners, what you need from us, the general public, from us, the government, from us, civil society, from us, the business sector, and from them, the tourism product, and from us, the tourism product, right? Artists are the center and the core of our nation. You can't be an independent country without your own song. It's a local person who write that song, right? You can't be a nation without your own poetry and poems. It's your local people who write that poetry and poems. These things are the stories of your lives. It is the story of your country's birth and growth. You cannot have a country without culture. And you don't have culture without the artists that bring it to life, bring it to the collective. They say the tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, does it make a sound? But that's the question. That's the question. It may make a sound, but it'll never be a song unless somebody's there to hear it, right? Anyway, so I have my friend on today, Mr. Eddie Daxon. Please introduce yourself, because I don't know if I could do you justice.
Oh, Lord. My name is Eduardo Daxon. Everybody knows me as Eddie, or the Balloon Man, or the Magic Man. I'm a magician. I'm a balloon artist. I've been doing magic and balloons for about 17, 18 years now.
So not as long as the PLP, but
no.
Okay. Cool.
No, I don't know about that.
It's just a joke, my PLP people. Just a joke.
I got started doing...
How'd you get into magic?
In a nutshell, I just wanted to do something that everybody else wasn't doing. And, you know, there were only, like, what, three magicians on this island? Now four because of me.
So how old would you have been when you first got the idea about magic?
I keep telling this story all the time, so I get cliff noted. When I was 10, Mom took me to a magic show in a Crystal Palace, when Crystal Palace was Crystal
Palace.
And I was either 10 or 11, and it was a cabaret show. Now, I don't know if you remember, like me as a 10-year-old kid, I don't know if anyone ever been to the cabaret shows in Crystal Palace, but they're much like Vegas shows. And they are very adult themed because the ladies dancing were all topless. I was like, what is going on?
It's already magic.
I'm like, yo, why is this happening in front of me? But But the guy who was there was a magician, and he did like some awesome things, and I loved that. And I got, that's when I got bit by the magic bug. And then I've been practicing doing it, like after watching people like David Blaine. I think David Blaine paved the way for people that like want to try and do magic, because he brought literal magic stuff that you could buy out of a magic store, out of any magic store. He just bought regular props and he turned them into something that was pretty awesome to do. So that was one of the best things.
So Blaine was taking magic props, mm-hmm, and turning them into something more and making more intricate tricks with them?
No, not necessarily. He did the same tricks, but he did them in, like out on the street, so people could see that, hey, this is the thing. It's not just a cheesy trick. Uh-huh, and that's what I like about the type of magic that I do, because I'm not all for like the expensive props or the big stage thingams or whatever, you know, like those things that cost millions of dollars. I just like the simple things, because the simple things is what get people.
So you can't make my BPL bill disappear.
Unfortunately,
I mean, it's a small bill, but it's a big prop, right?
I'd need a team for that.
But can you make things disappear?
Yeah. I've done that, like coins, cards, small objects. Like I do things like that on a regular, and that's one of the things that I love to do. And
because my boys make cars disappear.
That might be a different kind of magic right there. I know about that one.
We see all gentlemen out there.
So I got into balloons a little in the middle of my magic career, and I got to give a huge shout out to Baldy. He's in America. He's Baldy the Clown. Mm-hmm. He used to be a member of the magic shop in New York, 8508 Queens Boulevard, Rogues Magic and Fun Shop. That's where Evenings of Wonder was. That's where I performed on stage for the first time. I got to give a huge shout out. I got to give a shout out to my boy Omar and his wife Lavinia, because I told them to be listening in on the radio show. So if they ain't listening, they missed the shout out. So too bad. They in New York. Right. But we were all members in the magic shop, and Baldy walks up to me and tells me, hey, I know you like to do magic, but you really need to do balloons, because I know the balloons are something that could actually work. Magic is good, don't get me wrong, but with a balloon, you get a lot more stuff or whatever. So you get a lot more bang for your buck, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay. Years later, I took his advice, because I didn't listen right away. I was young and silly, but you know, I did it, and now I'm doing balloons and magic, and it's like a lot of people know me for my magic. A lot of people know me for balloons, and that's what I do.
I can tell the audience when I really sort of started paying attention to you. Uh-huh. But let's get to some of these texts. Mm. Text here says, "Hi, is Eddie as good as Fireball Freddy?"
I know. Listen.
Now, is Fireball Freddy a magician or a balloon artist?
He was. He passed away years ago. He was a magician. Everyone talks about Fireball Freddy. Even people who have, even other magicians I met in America, they come up to me and talk to me about Fireball Freddy.
So Fireball Freddy's a Bahamian?
Yeah, he was a Bahamian.
Well, tell us about Fireball Freddy.
I see, that's the thing. I don't know that much about him, because all I know about him is that he was a good magician. I only know what people tell me about him. I don't know how he was as a person. I don't know how he was. I know he was a darn good performer.
Yeah.
I know that. And you know, I've heard stories about him. I've never seen pictures of him because I could never find them.
All right. So one second. Mm. So to the person who sent me that text, send me another text and let me know if I could call you to connect you with this boy or to get more information about Fireball Freddy.
Yeah, I'd love to know more about him.
If you out there know Fireball Freddy, have information about Fireball Freddy, please contact me or contact Eddie Eduardo Daxon.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
Because we have to document this.
Yeah, no, one of the things that I, because I vlog, I'm vlogging the thing right now, actually. But what I like to do, one of the things I had written down in one of my journals is I want to document about Fireball Freddy, because every time I hear about a magician, every time I say that I do magic, that name always comes up. Every single time. And I'm like, who was he? And no one could tell, like, they could only tell me, like, what he's done. I want to know more about the man. Like, I want to know what he looked like. I never saw pictures of him. I've, where is he? You know, that's when I found out he died. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know. But I still would like to know about him, because I think that would be something that I could, like, talk about and document on video.
And this is how you root in an industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's how you root in a creative space by, you know, documenting the history of the development of that space. Mm-hmm. Look here, give me a second. Let me read some more of these texts. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to get into the meat of this conversation, which is the orange economy.
Yep.
And where is the space? Where are the spaces for local creatives to participate in tourism and the larger economy? Mm-hmm. So let's get to these texts. And I got an answer for you guys right here. Hi, Aaron, in reference to the... Hi, Aaron. Fireball lived in Freeport from the early 80s. Mm-hmm. So we could start there.
All right, that's good.
Another text. Hi, Aaron, in reference to the Scorch voters cards, can't they just change the cards and have reauthorized? There's a lot of things they could have done. LOL, Jesus, words are in red ink. Miss Green, please stop the censorship and read all my texts. Text ain't free, ma'am. Let all voices and opinions be heard. Thanks. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Sometimes you all text some things
that you can't say in
the video. And it stunned me. And I have to figure out how to reword them without changing the sentiment that you're trying to share.
Uh-huh.
Another text. Aaron, let's not forget this government is working on digitization and we have seen steps towards making it happen. Also, let's not forget only one party, the PLP, is known to have people begging for a contract. Boy, magic act, magic act, magic act. Aaron, you want the opposition to take their personal money and start a job program while the FNM use public funds? Tell the FNM as a party use their personal money too. You know it's a magic trick?
What?
Auditioning for a job with no proof of what you could do. But imagine if you pulled off the greatest trick of all time, but proven you deserve to be in office before you get there. I mean, the other trick would be proving you deserve to be there while you're there, but y'all haven't reached that level of magic yet. Mm. But I agree with you, Tex, that it's important to note that the government is on a great digitization agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And they are moving rather swiftly, considering the amount of work they have to do. So we give them their bye. Also, another fact on Freddie, he performed at children's parties with his wife mostly. So these are some context clues. If anybody out there is listening.
Is she still alive?
Is she still alive? Oh,
Ben, I need to write that down.
Yes, absolutely. And so I'm asking the audience, if you know if she's still alive, if you have any of this information, please link us up. Because what a beautiful story. Let's go to this caller quickly. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Grant.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning to your magician in the studio.
Good morning to you too, sir.
How are you doing, Mr. Magic?
I'm all right, man.
That's good. You're talking about magicians. I didn't hear you mention Frankie, the magician, the musician.
I said earlier that there are four magicians on this island thanks to me. There's me. There's Christopher Thornberry. There's Frank, Mr. Unique. And then there's another Eddie, Edward. Oh, good Lord, what's his last name? Edward Thurston, I think his name is. But yeah, that's Caligula. There's four of us on this island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Super cool. Thank you, caller. Thank you for that. It's great when people share this type of information because you just never knew it was out there. Anyway, guys, we got to go to a break. Please stay tuned to 96.9 FNM. Look at that. About to go home and take a nap. 96.9 FM Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day.
Oh,
we'll
God.
Be right back.
Life, there are always challenges. Today we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Make it count this time. Census 2021, see your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't want you, the count depends on you. So tell Tito, go tell the law. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021, this one's for everyone.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. And you are on the clock with Erin Green and my guest today, Eddie, the Magic Man Daxon. And we were just right before the break, we were reading some texts. And since then, I've gotten a plethora of information about Fireball Freddy. I see that's why these conversations are so important. You know how many young Bahamians and children out there didn't even know that we have a history of magic and magicians in the Bahamas? And now they could say to their parents, when their parents say, where you get this wild idea from? You think you in the States, hey? You think you're going to go wake in the circus in Chicago, hey? Or something like that. You could say, no, mommy, we have Bahamian magicians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tex says, hi, I saw Fireball Freddy a few times in Bimini. He also performed in many schools back in 1970 and 1980s.
All right.
Back when we were a country of great magic.
Okay.
Hi, we will see the greatest magic show when those 2017 old ballot boxes are pulled for the 2022 results. Oh, man. And here's another text about Freddy. Y'all talking about Freddy, but look up one of our first and most important pioneers, Sabu.
Never heard of Sabu before.
S-A-B-U. Thank you very much, Texter. Of course,
I'm gonna look that one up.
Send us a link to a book or somewhere where we could find more information or a settlement, right? Like a settlement where we could begin asking questions to capture this information.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. Is fascinating. This time I thought my mother was the greatest magician on earth. And nobody like her could make your mangoes
disappear.
You know,
that's messed up. Every time something disappears, every time something disappears, it's always a joke attributed to a magician. It's never anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
It's never, whenever something disappears or they want something to disappear, it's always
there. Yeah, we just using y'all and abusing y'all.
Like, dude, come on, man. Like, we do other things too,
well,
you know?
Well, tell me about it. Tell me about it. What are the range of tricks that you do from easiest to hardest?
How can I say this? I don't like to gauge anything from easy to hardest because okay. whenever someone asks me what's the hardest thing I've done, my answer is always anything that I don't know how to do yet.
I got you.
Because I mean, I don't know how to do it yet. And that's my outlook on life for everything. Like if I don't know how to do it, it's going to be hard because I don't know how to do it. Like, I'm currently teaching myself how to play guitar. That's hard right now, but if I learn how to play it, then it'll be easy. You know what I'm saying?
Man, look here, you need to go speak at Ministry of Education.
Ah,
it's simple but profound, right?
Huh?
It's simple but profound, and it's something that young people need to hear.
Well,
that it'll always appear hard when you start.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get past the start for it to get better.
Amen to that.
Absolutely. So, yeah. All right, so the orange... Oh, wait, here's another text about Sabo.
Mm.
And they spelt it differently.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes, Sabo was good, too. He did some dangerous tricks, and they spell it S-A-B-B-O.
S-A-B-B-O, okay.
Absolutely. So, here's my question for you. Is there a space for what you do, balloons and magic, outside of the traditional tourist product?
Okay. So, before I get into all of this, I have to preface this by,
okay.
I have to word everything carefully because I've been thinking a lot this entire week as to how I was gonna approach this.
Yeah, man, go on.
My issue with the orange economy is that it doesn't like it's not being paid enough attention to here in this country. I feel as if there are a lot of things that artists are doing, to try and make sure that they have everything under control, to try and make sure that their craft is good, that it's presentable and whatever.
Like being an artist is multi-layered, and there are lots of things have to be focused on at the same time.
But the root of it is being able to do those things and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, I mean, I don't care how much people say, oh, well, you know, it's for the love of the craft or whatever. It's for the love of this and it's for the love of that, and you should love doing it. Yes, we love what we do, but we still got to eat. And unfortunately, bills still have to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So artists here in the Bahamas are like, and I really want to make sure I'm not reaching here by saying this, but after sitting and thinking about it, I always, like, me and a few friends were conversating, and I feel that, and I hope I'm not saying anything wrong on the radio by saying this, artists in the Bahamas are glorified prostitutes, based on the idea of the job we chose for ourselves and how the government treats us.
Okay.
So because if you think about it, when we do art for people, it's like when an artist performs for a person, the person is paying for the experience of seeing this art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're paying for the memory of it. After they get that memory, they go.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of the deal. You know what I'm saying? And that our art is good enough to show to people, and it's good enough to do for everyone. But because we go through all the things and all the motions that we go through anyway, like trying to get help and support from other people or whatever, it's like we're like given a slap in the face or we're like given beans. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like there are many times, not just in the Bahamas, there are many instances of people always wanting to like shortchange people who are artists. You know, like if I wanted to do a magic show for someone, how much does this cost? It costs this much. Oh, I can't get this for this much or whatever. But you know, it's always something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because the idea is that it's something intangible, something that someone can't hold or physically
I can't take it home with me. I can't wrap it up and open it up and eat the last half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, we're talking about a country where it's okay to charge $1,700 for PlayStation 5, but it's not okay for me at World Axe and the Magician to charge $1,700 for my magic show.
Yeah, because I can be honest with you. I am going to spend all of my life on the PlayStation, right? And my kids don't know it or not, but I'm not buying them another computer. They're going to have to get online through the PlayStation.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? The car ain't going to the mechanics no more. I'm using the PlayStation as a diagnostics machine.
Die-righteous.
No, but I mean, I really appreciate what you're saying. I can be honest with you. I started my life as a bootlegger, not paying for music, but mainly because I couldn't find it and I was broke.
But here's the thing, right? What I love about Bahamian artists is that we know how to survive, but we need help from other people, and a lot of people think that the government needs to give us help or whatever, but I've learned over the years, and through conversations with my fellow artists and friends, that the government should not do they shouldn't do that much help, because then they would call the shots. And if they call the shots, it'd be weird, because they're not artists like us. Yeah. They don't know.
Example from last week was we were speaking with Requel Smith, who is a dance teacher, choreographer in Canada. And she talked about the legislation in place in Canada to protect artists, right? So there are minimum pay, you know, there's a minimum pay regulation. There is structure, there's infrastructure, there are regulations, and there is a culture of appreciation for artists and the role that they play. And because we appreciate them, we understand their value and then the need to protect them.
But here's the problem mm-hmm. therein lies in the Bahamas. We have not created a proper culture for artists here in the Bahamas. Because a lot of artists in the Bahamas, like, a lot of people in the Bahamas suffer, like, I call the biggest identity crisis the world has never seen. Because we're down to, like, DJs who hit the radio stations and start talking like Jamaicans on the mic. We talking, like, to rappers who, like, rap, mm-hmm. Like, in American accents or whatever. It's like no one stays true to their person, their personas, the Bohemian persona, which is why I like Bohemian Tree. I love Bohemian Tree. Yeah. And I like Solo because they don't put on an accent. And they talk when they rap and they gay. Talk. They
I don't go in water.
You know?
Right? Yeah. I mean, that is quintessential, that's the word? Because that's quintessentially a Bohemian
Tree. I love artists that do that stick true to how they sound. They don't put on a sound, you know.
Here's the thing, right? In that tiny space right there, right? Mm. Let's sort of be careful because a lot of us are ontologically American.
Yeah,
a lot of us are as American as we are Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
And is it fair to say to a young person? Because I'm inclined to say it.
Okay,
right? So I ask him, is it fair to say to a young artist, you sound too American to be authentic Bahamian?
No, because I think there are different levels of, I am not a singer. When a lot of people sing, that I've heard someone say that when people sing, we all sound the same when we sing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sound the same when we talk. It's kind of the equivalent of we could all sing together. We can't all talk together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So there's different levels of sound. So I don't mean that in those respects. But I don't think that's fair because that's not fair to that person's art or style. But
now, for me, at the same time, right, because I'm the person who's inclined to say that, what I've noticed, particularly with hip-hop, right, is I'm witnessing a Bahamian artist try to stretch an American accent over their Bahamian selves.
Why?
Exactly.
Why?
And it's in that space where it naturally sounds awkward.
Mm-hmm.
There are Bahamian rappers who rap with an American affect, mm-hmm. and it sounds great because it's a natural sound.
Mm-hmm.
And those same rappers could rap with a Bahamian affect,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds great because it's a natural sound, something that comfortably comes out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a space in performance where you could see it's a stretch, guy.
Yeah,
it ain't working.
Yeah, it's like what are you doing?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and that's where the critique sits. Not that your work is not valid because you sound American, but it ain't good because it sound awkward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I think that holds on to the type of culture that we actually need to present to the Bahamas, because it's like, we need to have a structure in place among artists where we can gauge, like, who is, like, you say you want this much for your performance. How good is that?
Yeah.
Is that worth what you're asking for?
Yeah.
And let me see or whatever. Like, we have to be able to vet each other, but do it properly and in a proper fashion. So, and we also, and I think also have to do is we also have to take into consideration that art in the Bahamas does not just encompass music. Music is not just art.
Right. So,
entertainment is everywhere.
One
you know?
Of the critiques that didn't come out in the protests or the independence celebrations, right? It was sort of like, why not the secular singers versus the gospel?
But that should not have happened like that.
What about the cultural performers?
That should not have happened like that.
Because if I wanted to see my money just go up and disappear and smoke, I would have called a magician.
That independence celebration should not have happened like that. Because someone painted a picture, one of my friends painted a picture, like, suppose I am a Bahamian, right? And I'm, for all intents and purposes, Muslim, right? What if I would watch the independence, so all that says to me as a Muslim, if I was, hypothetically speaking, if I was Muslim or something, like so this country
don't belong to me.
And because I don't belong to it. You know what I'm saying? Then there's this whole Christian nation.
Do we need a union? Do artists need a structure?
We,
an organizational structure?
We have a structure, but we have the makings of a structure. Let me say that. Because everyone goes and points fingers to, like, the entertainers union or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But in my years of growing up, And in my years of dealing with the entertainers union, it's never been a decent experience.
I got so let me leave it right. Yeah.
I'll leave it there for lack of thing or whatever.
See, because the Tourism Development Corporation, right, is creating this. I'm trying to get these people on my show from day before yesterday. An organization called BASE, right, which is the Bahamas Association of Shore Experiences. And this is for, it seems to be like an agency for tourism vendors, vendors who work with tourism, right? I think we need a similar structure for artists and creatives and cultural performers who want to participate in tourism.
I'll take that further because right. because that's yeah, where yeah. that's where I was leading to.
There you go, bang.
Because here's the thing, right? And I got a message from my friends Lavinia and Omar in the States. And the reason why I picked them up is because I spoke to them about this. It is, and I have to say from my, everyone's listening to me, I have to say from my own personal experiences, I am not saying like my experience is everyone else's.
Yeah.
But it is much easier to busk in America and get a permit for that than it is in here in Nassau. Because here in Nassau, to those who don't know what busking is the equivalent is what it is when you go to the States and you see entertainers on the street
or in the subway station,
anywhere, like they're in the streets, in the subway stations, whatever. You see whole bands. When I was in New York, there's a whole band that used to be in the subway playing stuff and having the tip jar out and everything like that. I should be able to do that much easier here, but it's not. It really isn't, because in my experience, when I asked to be on Bay Street, I first took the approach of I'd rather say sorry than not do it at all. So I went on Bay Street, started doing some magic for some tourists, and I gathered a huge crowd. And here comes three police officers wanting to arrest me because they think I'm gambling because I have a deck of cards in my hand. So I'm like, whoa, I'm a magician. So I had to show my business card. I was like, hey, all right, cool. So what do I have to do? He's like, oh, well, you need a permit. Where do I go to get this permit? Oh, well, you go to this place. So I went to that place. They was like, oh, well, you need to go to such and such to go get this. I was like, all right, cool. So I went to such and such to get that. If you want this, you have to go to NIB and do this and get a letter of good standing and thing and then bring all that back here and do whatever. All right, cool. Go on to go do that. Come here. Oh, well, you're going to need to get a business license. Oh, you need to get a business license and bring that.
Look
to
how I can get locked up every day for selling Chick Johnny's.
So you need to bring all that. And then when you go through the days and months and money, because some of these things, don't cost, they ain't free, cost money. When you go through all of these things and the money, and when you finally present all these things, and what happened to me when I said, all right, cool, I have all the stuff you asked me to get, here is it, can I go on Bay Street now? Oh, no, we can't have you on Bay Street. Why not? Y'all had me up and down, going, like, it should never be like that. And this is what
that ain't no true. We can push it.
Hold on. This is what I am getting at. Like, this is what artists need, because my friend Steven, who is beyond the show, he's like, he reminded me of something that I had to ask my parents and some older folks about. Bay Street was different before I was born. There were no cars on Bay Street. Mm-hmm. It was just an area like where there was the straw market and, you know, whatever. Yeah. And he was like, there would be performers out there sometimes too. But like Bay Street should be that. If tourists want to come here, they don't want to keep coming.
Now, here's what the issue is. Uh-huh. Bay Street about to be like that. I need you all to understand. Bay Street going back to that.
I got you. But so Bay Street should not, like, tourists, when tourists come over, they want an experience. They don't want to come and try to shop at stores that are already in America. They don't want to be like, there's jewelry stores everywhere, and there's that park that just opened where Soundwaves was. I got a thing about Soundwaves, by the way.
Oh yeah, in fact, quickly, because we got three minutes and I get some texts.
Quick side note: Soundwaves is having an event on Saturday for the people who lost their homes during the Jenny Street fire. Saturday, 6:30. Y'all need to come out.
Jenny Street Fire Relief and Restoration Fundraiser at the Soundwaves event this Saturday.
Online? It's going to be at Club Waterloo. It's going to be there at 6:30. It's going to be at Club Waterloo. And you can come out. There's a lot of performers. I'm going to be there doing magic.
And listen, come out there. to social distance and follow the protocols. Not come out there messing up these young people event. Not come out there being an embarrassment or not setting an example, you know. Don't get their event shut down. Don't be out there taking videos of people doing foolishness. Doing foolishness, you shut it right and shut it down. That's how you help young artists continue to do what they doing, because they can't police everything one time.
Yeah.
Boy, look here. This is that music coming in, and I got a couple more texts to read. And some of these are about Freddie Fireball and Sabo.
All right, cool. I need all this info.
Okay, this text is a text is saying, wow, you did all of that just to be told no.
Yep.
I want you all to hear the experiences of some of these young people. Good morning, Aaron. In some cases, Bahamian artists have to sound like Americans in some instances so Americans can relate to the music. I don't have a problem with that.
No, I don't
make it sound good, though, and natural. Don't make it sound unnatural, because then we ain't on your run.
Mm.
Another about Sabo. Hi, this magic industry is a big money business. There are some wizards that could get paid not to play card games from casinos in Las Vegas because they are good.
It's against the law for a magician to gamble in a casino.
Yeah, and card counting is against the law.
Yeah.
Okay. Sabu was a fire breather, glass eater, cutlass swallower, and more.
Mm.
The song Exuma, the Obeah Man, was originally based on him.
Oh, yeah?
One of the few people,
The
government gave permission to carry a cutlass with a license, Obeah Man.
That's cool.
Another quick text. Brave Davis is also a magician. No one can find what he did in Cat Island, Sansala, Rumkey. Now he hopes to pull off the same trick by trying to become PM. Ah, boy. One more text. Good morning. This is the second year government stopped the summer program, so we need something to replace. Place that. Oh, I made a note about that. Dear government, you supposed to be liaising with the Ministry of Health to determine what the best way forward is. You don't just get to cancel the program, tell us what you did to try and save it, and then tell us where you put the money.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, Eddie, I gotta have you back. I'm completely out of time.
I got a big quick shout out to the game ads, the gamers people from game ads. I gotta give a shout out to Dad Kunk. You can check me out on my stream on weekdays and weeknights. Don't let the kids watch my stream. It's a game stream.
It's an adult gamer stream.
Don't let the kids send them to bed, please. Magasa242. You can find me on all platforms on that by that. All right. Thank you guys very much.
Jack says, are you a Freeport Dachshund?
My dad's from Freeport.
They're all good people. Thank you very much, Mr. Dachshund.
No problem.
Eddie
Dachshund,
the
right?
Magic Man, the all Balloon right. Man. I'm sorry to my caller. I couldn't get to you. We're going to have this guy back because we got to explore the history of magic and entertainment in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Sabo, where are you? Anyway, I hope you're tuning in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for the rest of the day, because it is your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. And of course, Levon Miller and Unleashed is coming up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.